Welcome to Lanyap, a program about events, issues, and people. I'm Corey Crow. I'm joined today by Ralph Calhoun, Executive Director of the Biedenhorn Garden and Biedenhorn Museum. Welcome.
Thanks for having us, Corey.
Thanks for being here today. And first, let's just start here. There's always new people. There's new people coming to Monroe with CenturyLink in different places. Where is the Biedenhorn Museum?
Okay, we're located, the easiest way to tell folks, we're in the Garden District, kind of at the corner of Forsyth and Riverside. So if you drive down Forsyth when it dead ends into the levee, you're at the Biedenhorn. You really start at the corner of Speed and Riverside, but it's that block there.
And what is the Biedenhorn Museum and Gardens? What do you guys do?
I think we're incredibly unique amongst the museum world. We have a Coca-Cola museum, a Bible museum, a historic house, and an incredible garden. I don't know that you're going to find that combination anywhere else on this planet. So I think it's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, you can see a lot of different things right there in a one-block area. The museum is named after the Biedenhorn family. Talk to folks, if there's somebody new who's joining today, who are the Biedenhorns?
Well, I guess the quick story is Joe Biedenhorn was the first person to bottle Coca-Cola. And as I always say, he didn't invent the bottle. He didn't invent Coke. He just kind of married the two together. And then his daughter, Emmy Lou, had a musical career in the 1930s in Europe. And when she came back home to Monroe in 1939, she kind of wanted to share what she had seen in Europe with the people of this area, and over time created the Bible Museum and then her garden. We call it Elsong Garden. And about 10 years ago, we added the Coca-Cola Museum to it to celebrate Mr. Joe. So that's in a nutshell how we got there.
The Bible Museum is having an event coming up. It is a talk by the director, I guess
yes,
it being you.
That's me. Yeah.
And it's called Treasures of the Bible Collection.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's a PowerPoint program. We do it in the welcome room, which is in the garden. And I go through and talk about, I guess there may be 20 Bibles that are some of the highlights of the collection. And we've got some incredible pieces. And I think part of it for me is, I think people, they think, oh, okay, a Bible museum in Northeast Louisiana, how good could that be? And I want to let them know that it's excellent. I mean, we've got a collection that stands up within the country. We may not have the quantity of some places, but we've got the quality. So we're pretty proud of it.
You've got the year 1121. I don't even know what was happening in 1121.
Yeah. Okay, we have an Armenian manuscript from 1121. So it is a single page. We call it a leaf from a Bible that was handwritten. Manuscript means handwritten in 1121. And I always tell people that's a whole lot further back than you can actually comprehend. If you and I read Armenian, it would almost be like, I guess what Old English would be to us, this would be Old Armenian. So we could read some of it, but maybe not all of it.
Yeah, I just Googled the year 1121, and I've never heard of any of this stuff. That's a long time ago. You moved on from 1121 up to a year a lot of folks will know, though, 1611, a King James Bible. Now, now we're getting to something that we can maybe relate to a little bit.
Okay, well, our King James is actually the second edition of the King James. There were two editions printed in 1611. We've got a second year or a second edition. And it's amazing, from one printing to the other, there are differences. So you can tell one from the other. And ours is called the Great She Bible. So in the book of Ruth, I think it's chapter 3, verse 14, at the end it says, she went to the village. In the earlier edition, it says he went to the village. So I always tell folks, it doesn't change your theology at all or your doctrine, but it does change the story whether Ruth or Boaz went to the village. And so we point that out, and it's that's kind of a neat thing. And King James has changed quite a bit. If you read your current King James Bible and you read a 1611 King James, some of the wording is going to be different.
How did I used to work at a newspaper. I was fascinated by printing. How did this work in, 1611?
As far as really the process didn't change until, I guess, the tail end of the 1900s when you came in with Linotype and things where you were typing out your type, if that makes sense to people. You know, Gutenberg came up with a process where you're putting single letters in to a frame to make words, to make sentences, to make paragraphs, and then you could print out those pages. And when you were done printing page one, you could dump all those little pieces of type out and put together page two.
And boy, you better print enough of them, because then you'd have to put all the letters
back
in.
Do it all over again, yeah.
It'd take a long time to spell out the Bible just by picking letters off the counter and sticking them in a machine.
And it was very organized, and I guess it would just almost be like typing, that after a while, you know, if you were the guy who did it, you knew which little box to reach into. But mistakes happen, you know.
I've never seen a 1611 Bible, so is it very ornate? What does it look like?
Well, the page we've got is not as ornate as you might have had. So Gutenberg Bibles, when they were printed, if you and I bought one, I might buy one and have it bound by somebody different so it would look different. But also I could elect to have some of the lettering illuminated, painted, basically. So our Bibles, even though they were printed at the same time and the print was the same, the contents could be different depending on what we ordered from Gutenberg.
Ralph Calhoun is with me, the Talk Treasures of the Bible Collection. When is this happening?
This is Thursday the 22nd at 6 o'clock, and it's free.
A free event going on at the Biedenhorn Museum, and then the spring gardens are getting ready to start popping up and looking beautiful.
Tulips are starting to creep out, so they're not in bloom yet, but we're looking forward to it.
To find out more, Ralph, your website?
Bmuseum.org.
The letter B, museum.org. You've been listening to Lanyap. That's Ralph Calhoun. I'm Corey Crow. For information on this and other events, visit our website, kedm.org.